starting the recording, and I'm going to come over and mute the line so we get a nice clean call, and my cell phone is here in case Liz needs to let me know if anything's going on with the phone lines. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our fourth module, our last training call in the Thriving Yoga Teacher Program, and I'm just sending out a big, warm heart hug to all of you beautiful goddesses, this beautiful day here. It's a lovely spring day in California. It's raining, and the earth is so grateful for the rain. There's these beautiful dewdrops on these sprouting rose bushes. And just know it's to honor the beautiful goddess Lakshmi here as we come into this class on Lakshmi. And what a powerful training. You know, I've been working on the module and finishing it. It is there on the Ning site under the class materials page. Let me check. That's the page where it is. I don't want to mess any of you up. If you haven't gotten it yet, you're going to go to www.thrivingyogateacher.ning. Go to the course materials, yes, and the guidebook. And as I've been completing the guidebook on Lakshmi and really praying about this class today, I kind of live with the material for pretty intensively while I'm preparing each class. There's just so much richness in this content on Lakshmi. It's so, honestly, it's very spiritually deep. There's a lot of complexity and a lot of sweetness and tenderness and also depth in this material on Lakshmi. So I look forward to sharing that with you today. And I'm so looking forward to those of you who are going to be in the retreat. In just a week and a half, there's 20 participants, mostly from this class, and I'm so looking forward to meeting you and giving you a big in-person hug, really holding that in my heart very dear. And we've been getting some really great results in this class, people talking about breakthroughs in their awareness of their niche, their awareness and their releasing of their passion. Clarity and signature program. Demi just had a great post this morning. Thank you so much for that share about the breakthrough that you had on that. Really touching. And other people talking about just breaking through old ideas about setting boundaries and feeling shoulds in their work, having new opportunities coming. So I'm really, really grateful to see that happening for you all. And I'm hearing a little bit of, I'm going to mute you, Liz. Yeah, thank you. Great. Just a minute. So I'm feeling 100% better myself and just so glad to be on this journey with each of you. And I have a favor to ask of each one of you. At the end of this module on Lakshmi, there are four questions on the last page. And I would love it if you would respond to those questions and post it on the Ning site, if possible, by Monday, so that I will use that in kind of just assessing where we are and what we might need in the final call, but also really the progress that has been made in this course by this group. If you don't get to do that by Monday, that's fine. Go ahead and do it later. It'll be good for each one of you to have a chance to do this. It's the page 19, and it says, celebrating myself as I complete this course. And I really want to encourage each one of you to take the time to celebrate what you have done, what you have learned, what you have accomplished, any shifts of awareness, any shifts of consciousness, and to write it down. There's something very powerful about writing down what you've learned and celebrating. Because what happens is our mind, we have what's called a negativity bias. We generally tend to go towards what is not working well. And so, and this is healthy in a way because then we can put our attention on problems that need to be solved and we can fix them, right? If we're not looking at something that needs to be solved, we can't make it better. But this is one of the principles of Lakshmi, actually, is to notice what is working and celebrate it. So just as, for example, in a marriage or in a work relationship, when we're looking at the people around us, it can be very easy to become critical. We want to do everything possible to exaggerate and point out what really is working well to make up for this unconscious negativity bias, so we can stand in the power when we're in our love relationship, let's say, in a primary relationship or in a friendship, the power of what's working, and celebrate our partner and thank them, and celebrate our friend and thank them for what they're doing that's enriching our lives. And in the same way, what I'm asking you to do is to celebrate yourself for what you have done. So on page 19, and I'll just read this in case you don't have it, I want to celebrate. Go ahead and say what you want to celebrate about what you've learned or transformed in yourself as a result of this course. Things I still need to implement in my business. That's the second one, right? It's a long journey to really growing a business. It's like anything we really care about takes time to grow. And if you could grow it in 6 weeks, it probably wouldn't be worth it. So what is it that's the next step for you? What do you need to implement in your business? My commitment to myself as I move forward, what are you committing to? And what I see now that I didn't see before. So we've been on a powerful journey together, and go ahead and look at new awarenesses. You might say, wow, I didn't see how to set up a website. That's one of the things we're going to talk about in today's unit. And now I realize that I need to do it my website in a different way, or when I build my website, I will build it differently than I thought. Or I didn't see how I actually have inside of me a signature workshop. Or I didn't see a path to how to invite people into my work, and now I see it. Or I didn't see the extent of my limiting beliefs around money. Or I didn't see the extent of my limiting beliefs around marketing. Whatever that is that you didn't know about yourself before or know about creating the business of your dreams, go ahead and put that there. So those are the four questions. I want to celebrate, things I still need to implement in my business, my commitment to myself as I move forward, what I see now that I didn't see before, and go ahead and post those on the Ning site. If you feel shy, feel free to email it to me. I would prefer that you put it on the Ning site because it's so great for your peers to get to see. It's wonderful for us to celebrate together and be celebrated as a group. But if there's some reason that something feels private, it's fine to email it to me, Laura at Divine Feminine Yoga. And also, I want to let you know, if you're not able to come to the retreat, and I know there are many of you who would love to come and are not going to be able to make it. So I want to make an invitation to you, if you're not able to come to the retreat and you'd like to have a conversation with me about what the next steps are for you. I'd be very happy to get on the phone with you or to get on Skype with you and to talk one-on-one with you about what is next for you in your business. So, again, just send me an email to Laura at Divine Feminine Yoga, and I'll go ahead and schedule you for that. This is something that I do occasionally in my business. I'll open up a whole kind of space of slots to talk with people. I did this in December, and I had 90 requests to talk to me. And I'm going to be opening up some slots in April to my list, but I want to give anyone in this course priority because, you know, obviously when I got 90 requests, that was way more than I could handle, and I was only able to speak to about half of the people that had applied. So if you would like to talk to me, I'd be very happy to get on the phone with you, and I will give anyone who's been in this course and can't make it to the retreat priority. So I'm going to be in Florida for about 10 days, but the moment that I get back, I'd be happy to talk with you. So just send me an email now, and you can get on my calendar. So Lakshmi, beautiful, beautiful goddess Lakshmi. I want to tell you all, I think I mentioned this in the preview call, that Lakshmi is one of the goddesses where I have needed to grow the most. Lakshmi did not come naturally to me, and in some ways I'm still growing into this whole Lakshmi energy. Lakshmi was also one of the areas of my most painful lessons. I think those of you on the preview call heard me talk about when I founded the Green Yoga Association. And I, you know, was very connected with my passion, very connected with the Saraswati energy of that inner meditation and the inner guidance and the vision, which enabled something to unfold in the world in a very beautiful way. And it was attractive. So that was very much the Lakshmi energy. But I really was not clear about money. And this showed up in a number of ways, in that I didn't know how to plan for the income of this really powerful nonprofit. And I wasn't always attending to the books in the way that would have been really honoring Lakshmi, the orderliness and the cleanliness and the neatness and the correctness of financial figures really matters. And, you know, and honestly, I didn't know how to value my own need for income. And this is something we're going to talk about today, because there are times to give for free, and there is a very big way in which we come to yoga as service. Yoga is service. It's seva. And at the same time, when we don't pay attention to the sacred force of money, which is really the earth element, it's our connection with the planet, it's how nature grows and is abundant, it's how projects are protected and guided, and how they flow. The projects we really want and love and cherish the most cannot thrive. So in the Green Yoga Association, you know, we had $500,000, in 3 years of income, $500,000. And it still wasn't enough to sustain the projects that were going on and the staff that we had. And so, you know, I had to step away, and that was a very, very painful thing for me. And what happened was that I promised myself that I would learn about this energy of money. And so I did everything I could to study about money, and I looked at my own money beliefs, and I took courses like crazy, and I rested, and I did a lot to kind of heal inwardly and reset everything. And, you know, today Green Yoga is doing well. They're working. They have a number of projects. I don't want to get off too much on that tangent, but what I want to say is that I've had to learn a whole different way of getting, number one, an empowered business model, and that's what's going to be in this unit. Because if I would have had this empowered business model at that time, we would have been able to sustain the work that we were doing at that time. And keeping the books totally clean and orderly is something I'm very committed to now. Actually, this afternoon, my bookkeeper is coming, and we're going to go through things, and I do this on a biweekly basis, keep things very neat and orderly, and really understand and value. Just a minute. What was that sound? Not sure what that was. I think that was Liz coming on. I'm going to put you on mute again. I'm going to take a breath here. Valuing what it takes for me to support the projects that I love, so that now I'm able to really reach out and serve in a much, much bigger way. So I want to just read you a story here about the birth of Lakshmi. And I go into this in much more depth in the Reliable Divine Guidance course, which is the course on the goddesses, exclusively, and I want to get to the business of Lakshmi and relate, tie this into each of your businesses, but I just want to read this one part so that very briefly, the story of Lakshmi is that she's born from the churning of the ocean of milk. So what happens is the gods and the demons say that they want to become immortal, and so they cooperate, and they take the great snake, and they wrap this great snake around the Mount Meru, and they start to stir the mountain so it can stir the ocean of milk. And into this ocean of milk, or out of this ocean of milk, while they're stirring it, come so many beautiful things: a wish-fulfilling tree, a gorgeous, white, beautiful cow, dancing women, jewels, and finally Lakshmi. And here's what it says about Lakshmi. The gods and the demons felt Lakshmi's luminous presence long before they saw her. for her luminous presence is coming. They felt full-hearted and drunken with joy. Her beauty, far greater even than that of the heavenly dancers, knocked the air out of their lungs and made them gasp in wonder. And from her presence shone a soft gold light before which the moon paled. A great white lotus quivered under her soft feet as she stood, radiant as if lit from within, glowing in her own golden light. Her eyes were filled with laughter and love, and in her presence, every man and woman and child fell madly in love. Even the cattle mooed with love longing and rolled their eyes. She was wearing a gown of golden light, and as she walked, droplets of the cosmic ocean fell from her as sparkling diamonds. In her hand, she held a golden chalice that streamed with light, for it contained the nectar of immortality. I'm going to invite you to stand up right now. Put your feet on the earth. Your feet touching the mother, this beautiful planet who holds and guides us. Letting the crown of the head reach up. And let your hands just come by your sides with the palms forward. Take a few breaths and allow yourself to feel the radiance of Lakshmi. This radiance that is Lakshmi is also in you. You can let yourself move a little bit if you want to and sway. Take a few more deep breaths. And I want you to take both of your hands up and imagine that you are holding lotus flowers in your hands. See if you can smell the lotus as you breathe. And then take your right hand and visualize gold coins or maybe lotus petals flowing off of this right hand. And then the left hand down, holding a lamp. Light. And then taking one hand to the belly and one hand to your heart. And feeling the radiance that you are, the love that you are, the presence that you are, the beauty that you are. You are light. You are love. You are beauty. And go ahead and take a seat. So I want to tell you some stories about Lakshmi in my life. When I was in India in 2006, I had a little transformation in my understanding of beauty. When I was visiting India and watching the women in India, I had read earlier, I never quite understood it until I went to India, but I had read Alice Walker talking about American women dressing down. And how American women dressing down, she never could quite understand it. And she said especially wealthy women or especially middle class women. And she was, when she went to college, not wealthy or middle class. And it kind of surprised her to see these other women who were much wealthier than her trying to look poor. And when I was in India, I saw the incredible beauty of the women. And the way they wore color and the way they expressed themselves and dressed themselves and walked as though they were the goddess. I stayed with a woman who was actually a Jain woman who was, by our standards, quite poor. She was a professor at a Gandhian university. And she lived in, honestly, what looked like the the most rundown tenements with the worst plumbing and the most falling off paint. In fact, I don't think it had ever been painted that I'd ever seen, even worse than some I'd seen in Mexico. And that's where she was living, and I was with her and her husband for a week, actually. But the way she dressed was so beautiful. She would get up every morning very early, I think around 4 a.m., dress herself in the most beautiful colors and go to her altar and make her prayers and then go to the nearby temple and make more prayers. And there was this, I never spoke with her about it, but I felt this sense of deep reverence for the divine in the way she dressed. That the way she dressed was her way of honoring and respecting divinity and the goddess that she was. Whether or not she would have put it in the words of, I'm the goddess, it was respecting the force of nature, Prakriti, which is the feminine force. And similarly, one day I was watching women laborers laying a house with cement, and they were carrying bowls or baskets of cement. They would go to one side, and the men would pour cement from a cement mixer into a bowl, huge, heavy bowl, up on their head, and they'd walk on these thin wires across the house to the place where the cement needed to be poured, and they would give it to another man who would pour it into the mold for the house. They were doing this all day. Beautiful saris on these women, beautiful anklets, bracelets. And I thought, you know, if women laborers who are pouring cement can be beautiful, I can be beautiful. And it really transformed my sense of beauty as a way of honoring the goddess. And I've never seen dressing or clothes again. And one of my clients, actually, who's in this program, is working on beautiful goddess dressing. So we'll all be looking to see her work come forward as this develops. That's the principle of Lakshmi. The reason I bring this in is that in India and in the yoga tradition, actually, maintaining beauty is a way of honoring Lakshmi. So when you keep your house clean, you're honoring Lakshmi. When you dress with respect and love for the divine, you're honoring Lakshmi. When you maintain cleanliness and order in your financial records, you're honoring Lakshmi. And all of these things are a way of stepping into abundance and stepping into that radiance that then becomes becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You're already, in a positive way, right? You're already living with beauty and abundance. No matter how big your bank account is, you can have abundance in your life through the way you dress, through the way you walk, through feeling like the goddess, through knowing that you are the goddess, through knowing that you bring that divine light and love with you everywhere you go. There's a story about the goddess Tara. As she walks, lotus flowers come up under every step. And this is the energy that we want to bring to our lives. This is the energy we want to bring to our yoga teaching. This is the energy we want to bring to our marketing and our outreach, which is one of the things we're going to talk about today. It's living in that power and that beauty of Lakshmi. Another principle of Lakshmi is to live with the qualities you're longing for even before they appear to have manifested. So this means if you're longing for peace and ease in your business, how can you live in that way even before it's there? If you're longing for great service, start giving it today. Start living in that today. One of the ways that I really practiced this was when I was going through my divorce about 7 years ago and then stepping into a new relationship. And then when I was in that in-between period, I decided that I was not going to focus on, well, once I got through the grieving period, which is real, I stepped into the abundance. I pretended that I was in a relationship even when I wasn't. So when I was in India and I was single at the time, I took a lot of photos of other people and photos of myself, and I would enjoy looking at the photos at night. And I thought, well, if I had a sweetie, he would probably like looking at my photos. So I'm just going to do that now. I'm just going to step into that energy of enjoying them, and I know that one day someone else will enjoy these photos with me. And there was this kind of fun of it, so I was stepping into that, and that puts you in that energy, which then allows it to manifest and attracts it, actually. Another principle of Lakshmi is generosity, giving. And the word for this in Sanskrit is dana, giving. There's a parallel concept in the Judeo-Christian tradition, which is tithing. And a couple things I want to say about this. I'll just tell you that about 1 year ago, maybe 1 year ago in 2 months, I decided to start that practice. Now, you know, I'd always practiced dana, which is giving, but I had never really known how much. And in the tithing, you give one-tenth of your income, including gifts you receive, to whatever feeds you spiritually, wherever you've received spiritual nurturance. And there was something, I have to tell you, extremely freeing and extremely transformative about just saying, okay, I'm going to give 10%. I am going to do this. And I did it at first as a six-month experiment. And what happened was it changed my relationship with money. It changed my relationship with receiving money. It gave me so much joy, actually, because then I was like, wow, I'm going to get to give. And I wouldn't have to think about it. I would plan and I would know. There remains something very empowering and relaxing and freeing and joyful about it. So I love doing that. And, you know, wouldn't you know, a lot more abundance started to show up for me last year. So after the 6 months, my husband and I said, we're sticking with this. This feels really good on the inside. Now, the dana, this is a really, really interesting point. This is the Sanskrit concept of giving. And I want to talk about giving in the Indian context, because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding in the yoga community, and this has already come up a little bit on the forum, about money for yoga teachers and yoga teachers, whether or not yoga teachers should be paid and how much. And so a couple things to say about this. One is when I was staying in India with a Jain family where they practice dana, which is giving to the monks. So they give to their spiritual teachers, which for them were the Jain monks. And but there's a... The Jain monks are very careful not to deplete the family by taking too much. And what I mean is that there's a sense that, yes, you give, but you always give from a place of abundance. And you want to work and have income so that you can then give to the monks who have decided to live a life of renunciation. And so the householders go about earning a very good income. And, this was a Jain family that I stayed with, where I'm still very good friends with them. They actually made our wedding invitations as a gift from my husband and I. He earns a very good income as a designer, graphic designer and a web designer. And then he gives to the monks. But the monks travel and they go to many, many different places. And the idea is not to put too much of a burden on any one family, because the family needs what they need to raise their children and to be able to have time to do their spiritual practices. In other words, not to overwork. And so what's happened in the United States is that sometimes I think we mistranslate the idea of renunciation to our context. Because most yoga teachers that I know are living as householders, not renunciates. If you are living in an ashram, and that ashram is a community of people that are providing for your needs, and there is an outside community that is also providing for your needs through dana, through giving, like the monks in India are being given. For example, these Jain monks are being given their food. they're being carefully provided for by the community, and the community is making sure they're going to the houses that can feed them. And if you're living in an ashram in the United States that is providing for your income and where there's a community of support, that then it might make sense to give all of your work as seva. But for many, many, many yoga teachers, we are doing this as householders. And what happens is if you are living as a householder in the United States, you're not getting the same dana from other people. And if you do not plan ahead for the necessary income to support your business, you won't be able to stay in business, okay? And then you would need to go get another job. So there's, you know, this is a little bit hard to get our head around, but it's like the sense of this spiritual paradox of we're here from service, and the more we serve, the more we can give. And so it's not about, here's what I want to say about this. There are times when it's really, really great to give for free. And one of those is when you are, when you're a new teacher, many times we will do our practice teachers for free. We will give seva for free. We will, you know, I do volunteer service now. And we need to choose those opportunities. And at the same time, if we're going to be in business, we need to plan for the flow of income through the business, or it won't last. It will not be abundant. It will not be able to reach more people. So if you're feeling, if it doesn't feel good, now this was one of the questions, and actually Katie posted a question on the forum about being asked to teach in a place where it felt like the teachers were being taken advantage of. Now, if you look at what is a living wage, the number of hours you need to travel to prepare your class, I would think about what is a living wage for you. And I've had clients say, I was offered $30, including a commute and all this, and it did not feel good. When you multiply that times the number of classes you can teach per week, it doesn't add up to a viable income for most yoga teachers. Now, if you're retired and you have another income and you choose that, that's great. I know I have friends who do that. It's totally legitimate. But if for you, you're in the stage of life where you need to be supporting children, supporting a family, saving for your own retirement, that might not work. And it's okay to say, this does not work for me. So sometimes when you're a new teacher, you might choose to teach for a lower income while you are developing your skills to give as service. But if it ever starts to feel like you're giving from a place of exhaustion, that's not where we want to be coming from. We want to be coming from a full cup. We want to be coming from abundance. We want to be giving from abundance. We need to not be tired as givers. So those are some things to look at. If you feel like you're being taken advantage of, it might just be that that's not the income that you need. And I'll just give a little story about teaching for free. I have a wonderful, it's my Blissful Goddess Circle, just renamed it, and it used to be called the Women's Wisdom and Yoga Circle. And many years ago, I gave this circle for free, and it was all on donation, and I never knew how many women were going to show up. And I did it for 2 years, and it was really wonderful. The women loved it. I really, really enjoyed doing it. But what I became aware of was that based on the rent and the number of women who were coming, I wasn't actually making enough income. It was basically a service. And as I was finishing my graduate school and giving more and more service in other areas, I realized that this was an area that I couldn't continue to give a service in and for free. And so after 2 years, I discontinued the circle. And then about 8 years later, I realized that I wanted to start it again. And this time, I put it as a committed group, and I asked for a six-month commitment up front. And what happened was, in that case, that I was able to get more women, and the women were more committed to the group, there was the income to pay the rent and then what felt like a respectful income. And the group has lasted longer. And the group is going deeper because the group is committed. So what I found is that sometimes when something is for free, people will not value it the same. And I've seen this over and over. I've talked to people in yoga studios. When they offer a free class, does not mean the attendance is higher in that class. So something to think about. People value what they pay for. Okay, let's look at this here. I'm looking at the guidebook. Let me look at the time, too. Okay. So I'm on page one. Om Shrim Lakshmi Bhyo Namaha. So Lakshmi stands on the lotus, which means that she's connected to her heart and beauty. When we are, Lakshmi is the goddess who protects the peace and prosperity of our projects. When we honor Lakshmi, our projects will be prosperous and they will last. And the fact that she's standing on the lotus means that we need to be connected to our soul when we're giving. Our work needs to come from the genuineness of our soul. Okay, I'm just going through this. When we look at the principles of Goddess Lakshmi, there's one more thing I want to say. Respect for money, for the flow of giving and receiving. I want to invite you to start to see the flow of money as like a river. And Lakshmi is shown here with in a river. The water, you know, there's a flow of giving and receiving. So when you are receiving money, can you receive it with gratitude, and can you thank the person generously because they are participating in the sacred act? Whether or not they're paying you for a service or it's a donation, it's a sacred act. And when you give money, can you enjoy the giving? Let's say you go for a massage. Can you enjoy paying the massage therapist? Can you give the money with love? And what happens when you do that is it starts to be this beautiful flow. And I invite you to notice how your own patterns of spending relate to the patterns of income in your business. If it feels like things are stuck or not moving or you're not receiving income, it could be that you are not giving, you are not spending in a generous way. So you could start practicing tithing or dana. Personally, I highly recommend it. You could also start allowing yourself to live in that flow of abundance. Maybe go get a massage and give a generous tip with love and feel yourself just loving and blessing the flow of income. Enjoy the ways you give money out. Okay. Go to the next page. So the empowered tiered business model, I'm putting this in here again because this is so important, everyone. This was in the unit on Durga. And I want it to show it again, to show how income flows through a business. We give for free, we have entry-level offerings, and then there's the highly committed, deeper offerings. And what I find is that many, many yoga teachers get stuck in the flatlands, the middle level, entry-level offerings. And this will make your income stagnant, okay, on many levels. What you want is, and the reason it'll make your income stagnant is there will not be enough new flow into your business. You want that constant new flow. It's like the snows melting in the precious glaciers, right? We send love and blessings to the glaciers, which are melting faster than we like right now. We need those glaciers melting. You need a constant flow. And when you're not doing enough that is new and creative and free and really attractive and inspiring for your audience, there's not enough flow into your business. Similarly, if you get stuck in the flatlands and you don't go deep enough with your best clients, your income will also stagnate because very often it's where your deepest creativity, your deepest gift, your deepest truth is that you will make your best gift and have your best clients and for many people, the greatest income. Okay. So if you turn to page 4, we put a picture of a flower and a bee here, and I love this. you know, just like Lakshmi is associated with the lotus, I want you to think of the generosity and actually the entire way you represent your business, talk about your business, whether it's in person, whether it's on the web, whether it's in a flyer. You are being that flower, okay? You are being the beauty of the flower that attracts the bees. And you want to live, whether or not there's anyone around you, when you're thinking about your business in the morning, when you are preparing for your day, when you're getting dressed, when you are just stepping into all of your business activities, when you're talking to someone about your work, let yourself be the flower. You're living it. You're breathing it. Before a word ever comes out of your mouth, you are already in the presence of the radiance of the gifts you have to offer. Okay? And so you can think of this very specifically as the flowers, as your free offerings, your free gifts, or you can think of it more metaphorically as just your entire presence is the flower. Okay? So the bees come, and the bees fly around, and guess what? They love the flowers so much, they're so attractive, they go tell all their friends. They dance. Wow, there's this gorgeous flower. Come check it out. Okay? That's what you want from your free gifts. You want your people, your ideal clients, the right species of bee for you to get excited and to tell other bees. And that's what happens when your presence and your authentic offerings are resonant, when they're the right color, the right type that is you and that resonates with your audience, people will start talking about you, about your business, because you are genuinely serving and you're genuinely beautiful. And then what happens is there's a pollination, right? And that bee getting mixed in with the gift and getting its feet messy in your gift, getting the pollen on its feet and walking around, a process happens in the plant that leads to deeper growth and a new plant, seeds, fruit. And so, you know, you don't have to give all year long. You can give at periodic points. You can give seasonally. But you do need to give sometimes. And you need to give in a way that's very beautiful and very attractive. And then some people will go deeper. And some, you know, some of them will take the journey with you to go deeper because you have a lot more to give than just your initial free gifts. Okay, this page 5 is extremely helpful. I want you to really pay attention to this. This is gold here, folks, just like that empowered tiered business model. When you give for free, let's imagine that you're going to do a workshop. And we have a flyer later in this module that is for a 4-part workshop. And the person who's giving this workshop is actually going to give a sample workshop for free at which he's going to invite people into the paid workshop. Hold on, I'm getting a little hot water here. So let's say that you're going to do a 4-part workshop. Then you want to invite people into a sample, and the sample is free. So what you're giving is a free sample workshop. Okay, another thing you could give for free, and this is on page 3, you could give a free. Actually, you know what, folks, I want to back up here, and I want to talk about the things to give for free before we go into the steps. Yeah, sorry about that. We'll get there. Let's go back to page 3. Okay. So these are some of the top things to give for free. They're under the first aspect, free offerings. This is not an exclusive list. There's many more, but these are just some of the most common. The most common is a free class, right? And this could be a free sample yoga class, and you could have a policy in your studio that the first class is free. I've also seen it where the second class is free, so you come, you pay for the first class, and then your second is free. It gets you in the habit of going. It could be a free sample workshop. A free talk that could lead into your other work. A gift on your website. So this is where we talked about this in the techie call. You have a gift on your website, and it's with an opt-in box where somebody puts their name and their email, and they click, yes, I'd love this gift, and they get a gift. The one I have on my website is a ebook about the moon salutation. Okay, but it could be a free audio. It could be an MP3, and we talked on the techie call about how to create that. It could be a PDF. It could be a series of emails they'll get over a series of weeks or days. But some gift related to your target market, related to your area of offering. Another thing to give for free is an email newsletter with great content. Underline there. I should have underlined that. With great content. One of the things that I see many yoga teachers doing is sending emails only to promote their work. You actually want to be sending at other times so that your audience comes to see you as somebody who's an expert giving great content in the area that they're interested in. So if you do yoga for depression, send an email about that. If you do yoga for the myths, send a myth in an email. If you do yoga for caregivers, prenatal yoga, whatever your area is, send content to your audience. And then sometimes send promotional material about your workshops or your classes. A blog, a free private session. And this would be a free session that could invite people who are the right fit into your deeper work. A free video on YouTube. A movie showing. Some of my clients have done the Yoga Woman movie for their people and gotten a lot of people excited about it. A free benefit yoga class, which would be a benefit for a nonprofit. And you could partner with the nonprofit where they promote your yoga and thank you for putting on this benefit, and you do a benefit for them. A free print newsletter. A free community event, a meal, or another celebration for your students. if you have anything that you're launching, a book, a website, or you're completing some other piece of work in your business or your area of service, you could have a party to talk about that. A new studio grand opening event. This could be free, some type of a really big party. Now, if you are a new teacher, please do not feel overwhelmed by this. Start with one thing that you do free. It might be that you do a free class. Okay? That's all you need to do. Another one that I really recommend beginners get start with is a complimentary private session that will invite people into your work. Okay? And this is something we're going to go over more in the retreat, very specifically how to do this. Just a moment, drink of water. But those are actually two really good ones for beginners to start with, a free class and a free private session. You don't need a website. You don't need any online presence to do these. They're really great for beginners. The free talk is also a really, really good way to get out there and start meeting more people. It can be a little more scary for people, and you really need to be ready to prepare your talk, but it's a great way to invite people into your work. You can also give it online in a teleseminar. I'm going to tell you in a minute how I've done that and the flow of that. But start with one or two of these and gradually expand, gradually grow. As your technical expertise gradually increases, you can add more of the online ones. But you can start with the offline ones and be very successful. Okay, let's imagine that this is a free talk. So let's go to page 5 and imagine that we're doing a talk, okay? No, wait a minute. I already said we were going to imagine we were doing, a workshop. This is the workshop, excuse me. Okay. So the first thing to do is to be clear on what your paid offering is. So let's say that your paid offering is a 4-part workshop. And we can even use this example here that's page 17, since we're using this one, Sacred Art of Mothering. This is from Cindy Wensley-Gertz, one of my clients, doing wonderful work. The Sacred Art of Mothering, Don't you just love that title? We came up with that title. I think it's great. So she has here a free preview sample class, and at this free preview sample class, she's going to invite people into a four-part workshop. Okay? So before you design your free offering, you want to know what the paid offering is. So she designed first her workshop, and then she backed it up and said, I'll offer a free preview. Okay? If you're going to do a free class in a yoga studio, well, first you want to design the ongoing class that you're inviting people into. If you're doing a free private session, first you want to design, you know, what the ongoing sessions would look like. So you need to have an idea of where you're taking people, what the ocean is, what the ongoing journey is, so that you know where the flow is going. Okay. Once you have your paid offering in mind and your free gift, you really want a gift that's going to attract, inspire, and serve for the same audience. It's not a different audience. So if you're working with mothering, the free offering needs to inspire mothers as well. Okay? You create a magnetic invitation, very attractive, inspiring invitation. Okay? And there's a number of pages here which give sample flyers we're going to look at. You spread your invitation widely. This is where you get to help the bees. Okay? Take your flowers and say, look at this beautiful flower. Let the bees get excited. So you can do a print flyer or a print postcard. You can use social media. If you're on Facebook, you can create an event on Facebook and tell all of your lists on Facebook, all of your friends, all of your followers on Facebook that you're doing a free event, invite them to it. If you have an email list, send your invitation to your email list. If you have partners, some of your partners might be willing to get excited about this with you. When one of my clients just did a Yoga Woman movie event, and many, many partners, actually this was a woman in Los Angeles that I'm thinking of right now, many, many partners got excited. Other yoga teachers got excited, the studios, and they told their clients and their students about the free event. Tell your own students. Announce it after class. If you're doing a special workshop, a special free workshop, tell your students. Tell your friends. This is kind of like you being that bee, you being that flower. Just shine your radiance. Believe in it. Share it. Once people let you know they're coming, give them reminders. Send an email. Tell them in person if they're your students. Use the social media. Don't feel like you need to do it just once. Give a reminder why people should come, why this is going to be exciting, why this is a great event, why they want to come. People need reminders. And they need to know if you really believe in it, because people are like testing out your level of enthusiasm. And if they don't really know that you're enthusiastic, why, you know, then, you know, their own busyness and their own calendars could set in. They need to hear from you that this is going to be great. When the event starts, welcome your guests, make them feel comfortable, create a personal connection. Okay? People want to feel connected to you. They want to know if they're comfortable with you, and let them be. When you introduce your talk or your free workshop, let people know that, you know, not to worry. For those who would like to go further with you, you promise you're going to tell them how they can. The truth is, when you give something for free, in the back of people's minds, they're wondering if there's going to be a paid offer. And frankly, it's relaxing them to know that, yes, you will let them know if they're interested in following up. For those who want to go further, they can. Then they know they won't be worrying about it. Very often, if someone comes to your free offering or your free session or your free talk, they're already hoping in the back of their mind that you are the one who could help them. Okay? If they're struggling with their mothering and they come to a free workshop on the sacred art of mothering, like, oh, I just had an awful week. Maybe this is going to help. Right? Or if they've been struggling with depression or body image or an illness, maybe this person can help me. They're secretly hoping you're going to be the one with the answers. So they've already come hoping, and if you tell them, if this is right for you, I promise I'm going to tell you how you can go further, they will be grateful. Then you give them great free content. deliver on your promise, the promise that was in your flyer. If you're teaching a class, give a great class. If you're giving a free session, be a great listener and provide all the service you can. If you're giving a talk, inspire them with your story of how you've grown and learned in the area that they need to grow and learn in. It's all service. And then when you get to the end, remind them of the service that you've provided, and then let them know how they can go forward for those who would like to. Be very clear and give yourself enough time. One of the things that happens is people rush the end. They feel self-conscious. So slow it down. The people who are interested truly want to know how to go forward with you. So explain it. Tell them how to go forward with you. If it's a class, tell them how it works. If it's a workshop, tell them how it works. And give them an opportunity to sign up that night, that day. People are the most inspired when they're in your presence, when they're sitting there looking at the flower. The bee is like, wow, that's a gorgeous flower. I'd like that. And you know that the transformation you have to offer is so much deeper than one session, one workshop, one class. All of you on this class with me know that you've spent years studying yoga, and your journey would be nowhere near as powerful if you'd only taken one class, right? So isn't it great that you did more than one? So in a similar way, you want to invite your people when they are the most inspired to take action. Make it easy for them. Give them a piece of paper. Give them a form. Now, if it's really simple, like if I'm still teaching a class for teachers, elementary school teachers after school at a school near here, and I do offer one class free. And at the end of the class, I ask the student to decide if they want to step into the class, because we do series. If they're stepping into the class, I ask them to pay for the remainder of the series. I just tell them that. I just tell them how much it is. And I give them the first class for free. So they would have that off, but then they would pay for the remainder of the series. And if they decide that they don't really want to come back, which is totally fine, the whole class was free. And I just tell them that orally. They know that before they come. They know that when they come. And I don't need to write anything down. It's not very complex. But if there's anything to explain, it would be helpful, if it's a little bit more complex than what I just said, to have it in writing and give them a way to sign up. Sometimes you'll give a talk and they will ask you not to have any registration information or not to offer a next step. If that's the case, then you can give a free gift. You can say if you'd like to receive a gift related to this. So sometimes I was on Yoga Hub last year speaking, and what I did in my talk was I said that people could go to my website and receive my free gift on the moon salutation. So while I was speaking, many people went to my website and downloaded my free gift. So I wasn't giving them a way to get a next step, but they were going on my email list, okay? And I could reach out to them going forward. Sometimes it's appropriate to give a thank you gift if people sign up right then. And this can actually be something that inspires people and helps them get going. So Cindy has actually put on her flyer that there is, if they register the day of the sample class, they receive a take-home bonus gift. This is a way of thanking people for taking inspired action, encouraging people to take inspired action, and I think she's going to be giving them an audio. I'm not sure, but an audio to take home and get started. People love getting started right away. You could have something as simple as, five next steps for your home yoga practice. They love it. They will thank you for it, and it's a way to really inspire people to take action. And then release it. You release the results. Bless those who sign up for the paid offering. Bless those who don't. It's all fine. And whether someone signs up or not is probably not a reflection of you. It's probably a reflection of their, whether it's a fit for them, and we don't want to serve people that we're not a fit for. It's really okay. We want to serve our ideal clients, and they probably know if you're their ideal teacher. And that's okay. We don't have to serve everybody. We can't serve everybody, and you will serve at a higher level when you're working with the right people. Another thing is, don't feel you need to be perfect. You do not need to be perfect to serve at a high level. You just need to be on the journey. So on the next page, there's some sample flows that show you how the flow can go from free to paid work. These will not all be right for all of you, but I wanted to just give some examples. So for a beginner, if you are a new teacher, number one might work really well for you. So you have a free class, it turns into a paid class. Giving a class in a workplace. Sample three is giving a talk and then going to a free consultation and somebody becoming a committed private client if they're a fit, right? If it's not a fit, we don't make an offer. You can refer them to someone else who you think might be more of a fit. But if you think you can help them and if it's clear that they're really looking for help in the area that you give service, it's a disservice not to help them step into it that day. Because if they, what happens is we all get scared about transformation, and the sooner we take action, the more likely we are to step into it. Because what happens is the longer we don't, the more we start to think, maybe I really couldn't do that. I can't really change in that area. We start to get stuck and think we're stuck. Example four is from a talk to an email list. So again, giving talks might not be the first thing for a beginner, but as soon as you're ready, they're a wonderful way to start growing your business and to be of great service, actually. If you give a free talk, let's say that you work with addictions and yoga and helping people move to a place of more freedom and more joy in their lives through yoga and yoga therapy. And a great idea would be to give a talk about your experience and your journey and your healing. You do not need to be perfect. You do not need to be all the way fixed. You know, all of this is a process, and your clients will know that. But you need to be further along than you were, and further along probably than the people you're helping. But what happens is you can give a talk at an addiction center. You can give a talk in a yoga studio and invite people, create a really beautiful invitation and talk about your journey, what you learned and the steps you took, and then what the results you haven't enjoyed. And it can be an up and down results, but the honest truth is you will have more freedom from your yoga. And so then at the end of the talk, you invite your attendees to receive a free gift that you will email them. One, you could invite them into a free session. That would be a different flow. But if you were inviting, actually that would be the sample three, or you could invite them to receive a free gift. You can pass around a piece of paper, get their emails, and let them know they'll also be added to your email list where you send out great articles, occasional articles. And you can tell them, say, I email monthly, or you can say, you know, I don't email very often, or Laura, I email on the new and the full moon. Let people know. And then when you get home, you send the gift. If it's a PDF, if it's an audio, it could be another story. And then you do send juicy email content occasionally. You don't have to send it very often, but, you know, even monthly is fine. And then occasionally you promote upcoming classes and workshops. What happens is they will remember your talk. They will thank you for your gift. They will be on your list. And if they're very interested, one day they will come to a workshop. This does happen. Okay, there's a couple more. Oh, I said I wanted to tell you about the teleseminar. I gave my first teleseminar a year and 3 months ago when my email list was 200 people. It's now 4,500, much larger, but a year and 2 months ago it was much smaller. And my Blissful Goddess Circle, I wanted to promote that. And I sent an email with really juicy content. This was when I was just first learning about how to write from my heart more than I had ever done before. And I had 20 people sign up for the free call. They sent me an email. And I sent them an email saying, here's the phone call. I used a very simple free phone bridge, free service, not the one I'm using now. And I sent them phone instructions. I sent them reminders. I gave the talk. I had a friend interview me because I was quite nervous. I forgot to hit the record button. There was seven people on the line with me the first call. I woke up this next morning. I said to my husband, I said, you know what? I'm doing it again. Because I didn't want those other 14 to miss the call. So I sent out an email and said, guess what? I forgot to hit record. I'm doing it again tonight. I didn't want to put my friend through that again. So instead of being interviewed, I just gave the talk again myself. I had another different six people or seven on the line that night. And then I sent a recording of that call to the others who hadn't, actually I sent it to the entire list. I think it was 22 women who had asked to hear it, which was 10% of my list, which is a very good opt-in rate. And of those, four joined our circle. So that was 20% of the women who had received the recording or listened to the call joined the circle, which was great for me. As a beginner with teleseminars, I was ecstatic. Okay, that can work for you too. And that was a local list, mostly from the Bay Area, and I had four new students in my Blissful Goddess circle. I was very happy about that.
Okay.
And now when I do teleseminars, my numbers are quite different. And here's some beautiful quotes on action from the Bhagavad Gita. You have the right to work, this is page 7, but never to the fruit of work. You should never engage in action for the sake of rewards. Nor should you long for inaction. So this is a very deep teaching. I'm just going to pause here for a minute and breathe. We do our service because we want to serve. We are out in the world because we want to serve. And whether someone signs up or not is not the point. You are giving in every moment. That flower is shining. That flower is radiating, whether any bees ever show up. And that's the way we want to be in our business. We want to be even-minded in success and failure. Can you know that you're giving a beautiful service, whether someone signs up for you or doesn't? And can you be skillful? Because another part of the Bhagavad Gita says yoga is skill in action. Can you be skillful in the way you give your work? Can you give your best work, your best teaching? Do it with integrity in a way that serves your business and serves your clients at a high level. Yoga is evenness of mind. Whatever you do, make it an offering to me. The food you eat, the sacrifices, I think this is a misprint, the sacrifices you make. That looks like a misprint to me. Just a minute, I'm checking. Let's see, this is verse 9.27. I don't want to leave you all with a mistake. Yeah, the sacrifices you make. So page 7, that should be the sacrifices you make, the help you give, even your suffering. Even your suffering is an offering. So when you are teaching, when you are giving for free, it's an offering. It's all yoga. When you're teaching paid, it's yoga. When you're teaching for free, it's yoga. Love it. Give it. When you're writing an email from your heart with great content, that is yoga. When you're writing a flyer from your heart with great, you know, you are creating that flower, that is yoga. You're creating that beautiful Lakshmi flyer. Okay, here's a place for you to brainstorm, page 8, and I highly recommend you let yourself get very creative. Think outside of the box. You don't have to go with the list of free gifts that I've given you. If there's a gift you would love to give that's a little bit different from this, let yourself get wild. That's sometimes the funnest gifts. And then page 9, my conscious money flow summary. What I will give for free, currently offered and to develop. If you are a new teacher, You're currently offered free, might be that you give a free class. And then you might think, in a year, I'd like to develop a free gift for my website when my website is done, or in 6 months. Or I'd like to develop an MP3 audio that I can give to my students on my website. Whatever you develop, you want it to be a way for people to spread the word about you, for the honeybees to run around and say, oh, this teacher has this audio, you want to come get it. What are your entry-level courses? And if you're a new teacher, you might have one entry-level course, Or you might have one deeper level committed private program. Let's say that you want to only offer private programs. This is a very valid possibility for a yoga teacher. And if you're a beginner, you say, I'm going to do yoga for depression, and I'm going to have a free session, and then I'm going to invite people into ongoing committed work. And those are the two things. So you would have one thing under free and one thing under committed private. And that would be all you offer as a beginner. And gradually you can grow into more things. So start with at least two on this page. Those of you who have been teaching longer, you want to really let this get quite rich and varied. And make sure you're doing enough in the free, and make that, and especially the longer you've been in business, see if you can get more and more creative in the free. And the longer you've been in business, see if you can go deeper and deeper into the committed, the deeper level trainings, intensive, and committed private or group programs. Okay. Aha. Now, page 10. Using words that authentically attract your ideal clients. These are the honeybee words. When you use the right words, the bees know they're at the right flower. So, my mind is in the flow of depression, so I'll use that one. Let's say you work with clients who are suffering from depression, and you know that what's possible for them is relaxation and ease and peace and even glimmers of joy. Those are the words you want to use. And you want to walk, like we did at the beginning, you know, when we stood up and we were Lakshmi. Let yourself walk in the power of those words. Okay? It doesn't mean you're not going to have sad days, down days, but you know those words are possible, and you are experiencing them more and more in your life. So you are radiating the power of those words. When someone asks you what you do, we don't say, I'm a yoga teacher, because what happens is when you give a label like that, people put you in a box. They think, do I have a yoga teacher? Do I want a yoga teacher? Oh, I already have one. Don't need one. Or unless they're like right on the verge of wanting to start yoga, then they might ask you about it. But if you say something like, well, what I do is I help people who are suffering from depression to start to feel how they might experience joy again. People are going to go, whoa, and get excited. And if they're an ideal client for you, they might say, wow, could you tell me more about that? That's the bee flying closer and letting you know they're interested. Don't bombard people with a long story that they're not interested in. Just give a little bit of perfume. If they're interested, they'll come closer and you'll know, and you can tell them more. The other thing that might happen is they might say, wow, I know somebody who needs to meet you, or I want to introduce you to someone, or I know somewhere you could teach. When you are really saying the true results you give people, the potential results, the place people want to go, that pleasure island, the right clients, the right possibilities, their ears will perk up, the right opportunities will fall into your lap. So go back and review the Durga module, page 10, page 7, and the Saraswati model, pages 9 through 15, and use those words when you are creating your flyers, postcards, and your web pages. Let me just check on the time. Okay. There's a lot in this. We're given so much content today. Wow. So here's an outline for a promotional flyer or a postcard, and you can use this when you are giving a free gift or a paid workshop, paid class. It's the same either way. You're going to promote it in exactly the same way. The bold is things you do need to have. The non-bold is optional. Okay? You must have a juicy headline. Juicy means you must put the pleasure words, benefit pleasure words, into the headline, into the title. Tell them what they're going to get. Connect with your passion, your why. It could be in your bio at the bottom, or it could be in the middle of the flyer. And then tell them how it's going to be delivered. That's not the most important point, right? The most important point is the juicy title and what they're going to get related to their area of pain. A call to action, let them know how to register and your contact information. The other things, optional, call out to the specific audience invited. Let me give you we'll get to an example of that. Actually, I do want to give you an example of that. Let's go to page 11. This is a before. This is one of my private clients, Lee Masso, who does wellness coaching for caregivers. So this is the before. And if you look at page 12, this is the after. One of the things that's clear about the after is, first of all, the title is a little bigger, Creating Wellness for Caregivers. The other thing is that she has a little, we put a little phrase at the top that says, for caregivers of a child with special needs. Okay, that's what I'm referring to here, optional call out to the specific audience. It lets people know who this is for. Because if you look at the before, when it says wellness coaching for caregivers, it's not 100% clear what kind of caregivers she means. Is it caregivers who, like, work in a hospital and give care because they're nurses? Is it caregivers because they're caring for an aging parent? Is it parents? You know, it's not totally clear. So when we say for caregivers of a child with special needs, anybody who's in that position is going to open their eyes and say, oh, that's me. Or they're going to know who to give this flyer to. Okay. The next thing that's optional that we've put here, but it's really good to include, I highly recommend it if you can, is a bulleted list of 3 to 5 pain, curiosity, or longing points. These are things that your ideal clients are having pain with, or things that they really want to experience, or things that would be great pleasure for them, or just fun for them. That would be a curiosity point. And what happens is when you put these there, your ideal client goes, oh, they resonate emotionally. There's this emotional resonance. They're like, that's me. They get it on a vibrational level that you are talking to them. So here's an example that we put on Lee's flyer. It was not in the before, but it makes this after the second page, which is page 12, more resonant. So do you feel frazzled? Always giving to your beloved child and never having time to take care of your own needs? Do you ride a roller coaster between good and bad days? Do you feel exhausted with the physical and emotional impact of providing assistance to your special needs child on a daily basis? So one thing that I want to say about this is anyone who is Lee's ideal client will be experiencing these pains, because her ideal client is a parent that's really suffering, that loves their child but has a hard time with how exhausting it can be to care for a special needs child. If we're not Lee's ideal client, we're not going to resonate with that. I mean, I don't personally, me, Laura Cornell, have a special needs child, so I don't. This doesn't get me excited personally. Now, I can feel that it would resonate with someone who does, so I'm excited about that for Lee. But I'm not in that situation. So one of the things to know about writing your pain questions or your longing questions is that they will make the most sense to your ideal client. So when you're evaluating if they're on target, ask someone who is in your ideal client market, you know, somebody who is an ideal client for you, to read them. And if they say, wow, yeah, this really resonates with me, you're on target. Someone else might go, that's over the top, or I don't know. It could feel exaggerated to someone who's not experiencing that pain truly. If you think about menopause and the challenges that women going through menopause, other women who are not going through that might say, wow, that's a little extreme, right? But somebody who's in that is not extreme, that what they're suffering, you know, waking up too hot or not sleeping or, you know, you can't remember things, whatever it is. If you are in that situation, you will resonate with the challenges. Now, at the bottom of page 10, I help you learn how to get your pain phrases for those bulleted lists. What you're going to do is, okay, it says tip to create your, I'm on page 10 in the lower part, tip to create your pain, curiosity, or longing points, use the phrases on page 11 of the Saraswati module. So right there, you already wrote down what your ideal clients are thinking, the things that bug them, the things that worry them, the things that keep them up at night, and the things they want. What do they want? And then you turn those into your curiosity points, your longing points, your pain points. You just turn them around into questions. Okay, keep it simple, simple and short. Okay. Testimonials are great if you have them. Put the first and last name if you can. Any other identifying features that are relevant. If it's relevant to have a money-back guarantee, you can do that. Okay, we've got some other before and afters here. The Seasonal Care for Vibrant Living, we made the title a little bigger, and we turned that subphrase into benefits language. We added pain points for this workshop. We made the dates a little easier to read. Okay, let's go on to the myth to the mat. This is Katie. And if you look at the before and the after, one of the things that we did was we made the title clearer. So on the first one, it says, from the myth to the mat. She's using a number. It's cute. It's a little distracting, so we turned that into T-O. And then I wanted to make the title a little bigger so it stands out, and we added a joyful yoga workshop. So right away you see, it's going to be fun, the word joyful, because when you talk to Katie, she's just full of joy. So we wanted to put that word joy right in there. She helps you feel joy through the yoga myths. And that's how joy is a very juicy benefit word for people who love yoga. So we put that right in there. It's a yoga workshop from the myth to the mat, and it stands out. Before, she had a yoga workshop kind of woven into a three-line, it got lost. So now it's not getting lost. Then we created curiosity points for her. Do you want to unleash your inner warrior by diving deep into the rich history of yoga? We gave her some really great curiosity points there. Speeding up a little bit. And then we've already talked about Cindy's flyer. Great title, The Sacred Art of Mothering, 4-week intensive. So you know what it is. From exhausted caregiving, that's a pain. Exhausted is a pain word of her mothers. Caregiving, you know what it is, to joyful, soulful nurturing. That is a pleasure. This is what they want. Aren't these every mother's caregiver's dreams? And these are the longing points of her clients. Feeling less fatigued, more healthy and strong. Learning how to relax and go with the flow. Balancing the ups and downs of everyday life. We are almost done here. I think we're going to be able to squeeze in all this incredible content before we end our time. Taking a breath. Now, online. Okay, website. Last page, 18. And I go ahead and use those flyers as examples when you're creating your own flyers. All of these have a number of the optional ones on them. They could be simpler. And sometimes when you're doing a print flyer, simpler is better. If you're handing it to people, the complex is good. And online, the complex is good, the more because people really read things online. Sometimes in print, the simpler is better. So these could be actually simpler for print use. But I think many of these will be handed to people. And in that case, the more detail is better. Okay. The thing I want to say about websites is that the web is not the same as in person. You want to use the web in a little bit of a different way. There's so many different capabilities than you would use your in-person marketing. What happens when people go to a website is they look at your website. They just spend a few seconds, I mean seconds, looking at your website, and they make a snap decision if they're going to stay or not. If there's too much print that they can't read through, they're very likely to go on to another page. Okay? So you need to make your website attractive. That could be a graphic at the top. It could be that the title of your website catches their attention and they immediately resonate with the words that's a word they want in their life. It could be that it's right at the top of your website. You have the longing points, the curiosity points. You call out to your ideal clients. Call out to your ideal clients. Let them know they're in the right place because they're more likely to stick if they know you serve them. You serve them. And then have a free gift
on your homepage. Have a free gift. Because one of the main things you want to do with your website, you want to build credibility. So some people will go home after they've met you and look at your website. They will go to the About page, and they will read your bio. Your bio in print is usually going to be shorter. The bio on your website is usually longer, and they want to read your long version. So they'll go home and look at it. So have the long version on your About page. But the other thing that happens with your website is that people who have never met you land on it. Their friend tells them. They find out about you through social media. And you want to add them to your email list. And you want them to start getting to know you. And you want to invite them into your work. A couple ways to invite them into your work. One, have a free gift on your homepage. This is the opt-in gift that we talked about in the techie call. Okay. And another way to invite them into your work is to invite them to a free class or a free private session. And I highly recommend if you do private sessions for free, as a way to invite people to become ongoing clients, is that you have an entire page of your website devoted to that. And you use exactly the same outline that we've used for flyers here. You're going to put the call out, who your free gift is for, who your free session or your free class is for, the pain points or the longing points that they might be feeling. These would be the pain points of your ideal clients. So let's say I have a yoga class after school for teachers. I don't think I actually have a page on my website about this. We're not all perfect, but not a lot of yoga people are finding my website in that way. But I could, if that were something I were really massively working to grow. I'm not actually working to grow that class right now. But I could have a class that would say, are you a teacher who gets tired at the end of the day? Do you get too many colds? Do you get worn out from being on your feet all day? Would you love to have a place where you could come and relax and just feel good before you go home at the end of your day and get your mind off of work and feel some joy and peace in your body? I invite you to come to a free class at Black Pine Circle School, and to save your space, send me an email and I'll send you, the time or something like that. But you want to invite people why they should come visit your class or why they should sign up for your free session. Say, in your first class, you will get some personal attention from me to start very gently with a stretches and be shown how to work in a way that meets your own needs, and you'll start to feel better from class one. You'll learn some breathing and some stretching that you'll go home energized and feeling better after just your first class. I'm stretching. Can you hear that I'm stretching? So invite them to take the next step. And as you're creating your website, think about your ideal clients and how they're going to go through it. You want to guide people through your website. And once your website is built, sit down with an ideal client who does not know you or maybe hasn't seen your website and watch them go through it. See what they notice, see what they don't notice, see what they ignore, see where they push, what they click on, and watch what happens. You'll learn from that, and then you can go back and tweak it. The nice thing about a website is it's always tweakable. So these are just the very basics for beginning website. Your homepage, something that you're inviting them to that's free, and a long version of your bio contact. Then you can add as you grow, and if you already have programs, have sales pages for your programs and have the juicy language on there. You can have a blog. Some of you have been writing articles. You can add short articles and have a blog. Okay, and there's just an infinite number of possibilities. So we are through the guidebook. And we're back to the Celebrating Myself, page 19. And I want to invite you to fill out this page. And even if you don't get through the whole Lakshmi module before Monday, if those of you who would be willing to, I would just love to have some of you do this page 19 and post it on the forum. Again, if you're feeling totally shy, you can go ahead and email it to me, Laura at Divine Feminine Yoga. But whether or not you get to it by this Monday, do go ahead and celebrate yourself, share with us what you want to implement, your commitment and what you've learned, what you see now that you didn't see before. Also, again, just a reminder, those of you who are not coming to the retreat, if you would like to get on the phone with me, get on my calendar before it fills in April, which it will, to talk about next steps for you. And I'm standing up again, looking at all of your beautiful names here on the phone. I'm just going to go to the Q&A. We still have Ivy. Okay. I'm going to sit down and send a blessing before we end this call. We have our final group mentoring call on Monday. And you can post questions for that on the Ning site. You can come live, and I'll give you a chance to raise your hand and ask questions. You can ask a question on any of the units. It can be on the Lakshmi unit. It can be on the, you know, Kali, releasing your fears and doubts, creating your signature program. If somebody is still working on a niche and your what you really want to focus on, which is Module 1, the truth is, this is an ongoing journey, and you might think you want to focus on one thing. You might be dating a niche, and then you might all of a sudden realize that's not the path you want to go down. It's fine to change. Once you commit, you want to really stick with something for a while so you can grow it, because it takes a lot of energy to grow this beautiful plant, this beautiful tree that is your business, beauty. So come to the call on Monday, or put your questions on the site, and I will respond to them on that call. And I'm just breathing with all of you as we close. I'm hearing gorgeous robin sounds out my window on this lovely raindrop day, which we need the rain. And I'm seeing a beautiful garden with so many plants in it, some full-grown trees, some little baby buds, some rose bushes. And I want to celebrate all of you. And whatever stage of the journey you're at, whatever stage of plant, if it's a full blossoming tree your business is at, if you have a full blossoming, flowering tree about ready to fruit, if you have a little bud just poking, a little sprout coming up out of the ground, that's your business. So many blessings to that sprout. You're a beautiful rose bush. Just see if you can feel where you are, what kind of plant you are. And sending blessings to yourself as this beautiful plant, this Shri, which is Lakshmi. Shri is the seed mantra for Lakshmi, and Shri is the word that was in the Vedas for Lakshmi before there was Lakshmi. Shri. Auspiciousness, that which is good, that which is true, that which is lovely. And sending blessings to all your sisters on this call with us live right now, those who will listen later to the recording. So many blessings for all the plants and all the good that's being done on this planet by yoga teachers. Blessing and healing this earth, just bringing radiance. Om Shri Lakshmi Bhyo Namah. Om. Om Shrim Lakshmi Bhyo Namaha. Om Shrim Lakshmi Bhyo Namaha. Namaste, everyone. Have a good day. Bye-bye.